He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds with an asterisk today, because that's what's leading the way. Today, after two big days in the market, this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. We are off to the races here today. We got Barry Kite here today with us, our chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. It doesn't surprise me one bit to see the market go back to its losing ways after two big days in the market, which just seemed to come out of nowhere. Now we're back to Dow down 330, which has been more normal recently. Dow down 330 to 29,985. That's a 1.1% drop. S&P down 1.4% today after two big days in a row. 37.37. There's your lotto numbers for the day. NASDAQ down 200, 10,975, down 1.8%. Small caps down 1.43%. Our friends at OPEC Plus are going to cut production by 2 million barrels, not 1 million barrels, 2 million barrels per day. I'm surprised to see oil only up 32 cents, but OPEC is also sending a message that, they see a slowdown in the economy. And we'll get to the WTO, the World Trade Organization, slashing global forecasts, growth forecasts going forward. Gold is back to its losing ways, down $12 per ounce. Silver's down 89 cents. The euro is under one. Under parity, the 10-year is up 12 basis points. Wow. You know, after we get through this, I'm going to read you what I sent out as my last message to my subscribers yesterday, because I think it was pretty prescient. The U.S. dollar is up again. It's back to its winning ways. Bitcoin is back to its losing ways, down $261 per coin. And Bitcoin is currently at $19,879. After its biggest two-day rally since the pandemic. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money. Oh, Best Inverse Funds Now show today. We're back to the inverse funds leading the way, I'm sorry to say, after two big days in the market that seemingly came out of nowhere. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual fee-based money manager. And we are fiduciaries, both Barry and myself, so we have to do, and we wouldn't do it any other way. What's in the client's best interest? There's no incentive for me to buy Caterpillar over Deer, or to buy an inverse fund over an index fund. I'm trying to do what I think is best for you, both on the protective side. When we're in sloppy markets like we are now, and, to make hay when the sun is shining, which it's pretty cloudy out there right now. Okay, we had two big days in a row. Things could not have looked worse when I wrote my newsletter on Friday and sent it out Saturday afternoon. I mean, the Dow had broken support. The NASDAQ had broken support. We're talking 12-year support, not 12-day support, 12-year support. The S&P 500 was barely hanging in there. The bond market is in the worst bear market that I can remember in my history in the market. That's all I've seen is bonds go up as interest rates went down for the last 23 years. Actually, they've gone down for 40 years. So yesterday kind of comes out of nowhere, and of course, on the one hand, you're going, oh, man, I hate to miss two big days in the market, but here's what I said. My last message to my subscribers yesterday, both on Seeking Alpha, where I have a premium subscription room, and they get the same live trades that my subscribers get, you know, through my website and through my app, bestocksnowapp.com, live trading. Who would have ever thought, here it is from yesterday, at 4:25 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is coming from Bill Gunderson, who would have ever thought that the Dow would be up 1,500 points to begin a new quarter? Which it was, okay? It was the first two days of the new quarter, the fourth quarter, 2022. And then I went on to say, quote, "I did not see it coming." What is the catalyst, I said. We have had a sudden drop in interest rates and the dollar after the UK backed off of their tax cut plan. It seems to me that rates are going to go right back up along with the dollar. Well, that's happening today, okay, whether it follows through or not, that's happening today. If that happens, the market will turn right back around and give up these last 2 days of gains. So anyways, that's what I had to say about things yesterday after two really kind of baffling days.
Yeah, but it was a bet against the Fed, really, is what it was, and it's not.
That's what it is,
and it's a bet that, you know, it's not like you're at the roulette table and you wait for it to go around and then it's going to land on something. You can be standing at that table for a long time while that wheel spins.
Yeah,
you know, we've got a lot of data to go through before you get a decision one way or the other on the Fed.
Yeah, I saw a good description. I don't know if I can on Seeking Alpha. They called it pivot something. Pivot mania or something like that.
Right.
All of these people. Yes, the market is forward looking. Okay. You don't want to wait. You want to kind of get ahead. When the Fed actually pivots, you know, the market is looking down the road a year. So you've got really and truly, I can't describe it any other way than bets being placed right now. Bets being placed that the Fed's going to pivot any day. And I just don't see any signs of that. From my point of view, it is way too premature to count on the Fed pivoting, which means backing off of their aggressive rate hikes, because I haven't seen any signs of cooling inflation. I go back to what I've been saying the last couple of weeks. You know, when we start seeing layoffs, I would say right now we're seeing hiring freezes. That's what I'm seeing.
That's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
As investors, you never really like to use it. And certainly as money managers and advisors, you never want to use the words bet or hope, right?
Yeah.
In a lot of the rhetoric, or you know, in whether you're reading financial news or listening to financial news or watching financial news, those terms, I've heard them a lot in the last few days, bets and hopes.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, ADP was actually came in jobs report came in higher than expected today. Most, I think we had, you know, about 10 million or so job openings on the JOLTS report yesterday. So you haven't heard a lot of layoffs. The word really has been hiring freezes, and we'll hear more about that during earnings season. You know, this quarter. So
yeah, I saw Amazon is not going to hire any more execs between now and the end of the year. So that's kind of where we're at. You know, it's just starting to kind of top out, really. So, anyways, the Dow was up 825 yesterday. The S&P was up 112. The NASDAQ was up 361. The 10-year came clear back to 3.62. But right now, we're right back into the old ways of the market, which have really been the predominant trend by far so far. And I don't think the word bet is in the fiduciary vocabulary. I don't think we'd be fiduciaries betting that the Fed is going to pivot, and then it doesn't pivot, and we're in trouble. Okay, so yeah, that's pretty much the consensus why the market was up the last 2 days, and I think there was a little bit of that what the UK did, because there was a lot of short interest thinking that the UK with their tax cuts would put Europe right into a recession. Well, we'll never know. Europe's already in a recession. We'll never know what their tax cuts would have done. but they backed off, and that seemed to be some kind of a catalyst too. But like I say, now we're back to our predominant trend this year, which has been down in stocks and up in interest rates.
Yeah, and just watch interest rates. They're stocks and interest rates have been moving in opposite directions, pretty frequently. And you got the 10-year back at 3.78 today, up 16 basis points, which is it's a pretty significant move when you're looking at interest rates. So.
Yes, and you've got the dollar moving back up again. Okay, well, there's a lot of stocks in the news. Man, I was busy this morning getting all of this, going through everything. I tried not to miss anything, but I only want to talk about those things that are most important right now in this market. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. The 10-year up 14, almost 15 basis points right now. Bitcoin down 480, the Dow down 360. So we're right back to the trend that has dominated. You would have had to have said after the last couple of days that, okay, the coast is clear. We're headed back to 16,000 on the NASDAQ and 4,700 or wherever we got on the S&P 500. I didn't see that at all, but obviously, there was a trading opportunity. I would say it was an oversold trading opportunity. I've watched over the years, and when things look the absolute worst, which I think on Friday we hit a sentiment bottom. It just was ugly ending the day Friday. And you could say, well, you know what? Maybe it's time for a big bounce. I mean, that's really the way you would have to play the upside of the market is you've got to pick when things are washed out the most, look the worst, and move in. Which obviously there was some of that the last couple of days, but I just wasn't buying that all of a sudden the coast was clear and it was time to celebrate and party once again, that the Fed was done. No, well, anyways, we'll see where we go from here. I take it a day at a time, I sent out another message yesterday. If I see anything I like today, I'll buy it. I did make a big purchase yesterday on the long side of the market, which is kind of unusual, but I did. And I also took yesterday's big gains in the market to new clients that have come in. I bought some of the inverse funds that were already in, not all of them, but a few of them for them because they were selling off yesterday. So that's how I handled yesterday. Okay. How about today? And I looked at the quality of what was moving. Highly shorted companies. That's what I saw. Stocks that were highly shorted. I said it in the show yesterday. This is like 2020 all over again, okay? It was a Farfetch. It was Coupang. It was Carvana. It was Overstock, Expedia, Mercado Libre. Stuff like that. Fiverr. Chewy. Oh, how did I miss Chewy's two-day bounce yesterday? I mean, it was a milk bone bounce. That's what I saw. Amazon was up. Okay, some of them got carried higher, but I didn't like the quality. I see so much more. I go through that religiously every day, my database of 65. Let's see, where am I at right now? I'll give you... I currently have in the database 6,057, and we're doing some work on the app. I'll just let you know that in the background. I've signed up with a nationwide app firm, Barry, So you're going to see, you know what, I'm going to unleash the next level. The last guys I hired, I wasn't happy with the product.
Well, it's not easy to find good help out there.
No, it isn't. So I went with Big this time. Big. And I really like the guy I'm working with so far. Okay, let's see. OPEC to cut production by $2 million barrels a day. That's a big story. All right, that's a big story.
And especially check out the graph of where their targets have been and where they've actually been producing. So the they haven't been hitting their targets, period, already. And so now you lower that target, and you let's say their production drops. Well, it's actually much a good bit lower than their actual target, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, and it's going to be less supply in terms of coming from that neck of the world.
Yeah, and I think there's two things we learn from this. Number one, they obviously are getting ahead of what they see as a slowdown in the economy, and number two, they're taking advantage of all of these countries that have decided to go green and not produce oil, and they're going to weaponize it just like they did back in the 70s. They're going to take advantage of that situation. We don't exactly have real good relations right now with Saudi Arabia especially, and so you know what? I'm still bullish on oil and oil stocks. It's about the only sector in the market, anything energy-related, especially where they're trying to, get rid of the fossil fuels, coal, oil, natural gas, etc. Now, the next story ties right into what OPEC did. They probably already knew this. The World Trade Organization slashes global economic growth outlook due to multiple shocks. And you're going to buy Carvana? You're going to buy Chewy? When the World Trade Organization is slashing its outlook for 2023, that's not this year, that's next year. And that's why I've been very cautious on my 2023 earnings estimates for the S&P 500, because I think there's great risk to the consensus number that's out there now. And I haven't said that for many years. WTO economists now expect the global merchandise trade volume to rise just 1% next year, down from the previous estimate of 3.4. That's a big drop. From 3.4 to 1.0, and they now foresee 3.5% growth. No, that can't be right. They now, oh, that's 2022. For this year, which is almost over, we have, for this year, 3.5% growth. They were at 3% before. Okay, and what else do we have here? The reasons for the dimmer view by region in Europe: high energy prices caused by the Russia-Ukraine war will pressure household spending and boost manufacturing costs. And you know I'm very negative on the European economy, and you'll see why here in a minute. The U.S. monetary tightening will hurt interest-sensitive spending, such as housing, motor vehicles, which has basically come to a standstill. And in China, continued COVID-19 outbreaks will continue to disrupt production. So that's quite a bit of bad news there coming from the World Trade Organization. Now, remember this, Barry. We're in a slowing economy, and the Fed is hiking interest rates at the fastest pace in memory.
Okay. Well, world banks in terms of all central banks around the globe are doing so. Remember, it was the same week the Fed announced their recent hike. You also had, I think you had 750 basis points of upward interest rate moves by developed economies, which is increasing costs all around the globe.
Yeah, and that's just not supposed to happen. The Fed is supposed to be hiking interest rates when the economy is booming. Okay. They didn't do that. Now they're behind the curve. Okay, when we come back, I got a scary story for you to start the second half. I almost went to bed when I read this one. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Oil up 52 cents. I'm surprised it's not up more. Obviously, I think it's sending a little bit of a scare about global recession. Oil should actually be up more today with them cutting back by 2 million. That's a pretty significant cutback. The Dow has worsened. It's down 414, basically giving up what it gained on Monday. And the NASDAQ's down 263, giving back. So now you've given back almost one day of those gains. And you're still holding on to yesterday's gains. But we'll see where we go the rest of the week. It's all I can say is in a bear market, you have rallies, get sold. At just the opposite of a bull market where you have pullbacks in the market, get bought, okay? Here you have pullbacks in the market, you have a sucker rally, and then bang, you're hitting new lows again. Rallies are sold. Okay, here's the scary story for the day. You know, there was a lot going on. You know, I'm on TweetDeck during the day, which has about 6, 7, 10 columns. I have 10 columns. And I can type in keywords, and then I like the San Diego Padres, Charleston fishing, important things like that, hurricane news, things like that. But yesterday there was some news going around, and I watched it during the day about that Russian submarine, which was missing from a Baltic port. It's supposedly this doomsday submarine. I did quite a bit of research on that. And it does have some pretty awesome capabilities. It can launch 12 different drones underwater that go about 50 miles an hour. Clobber all the cities on the eastern coast of America. You think we'd be in the top 12, Barry? Eastern? We're a port city. Right?
Maybe we got that northeastern seaboard up there. Although you know, you got Brunswick, you got some, you got a big right there on the Florida Georgia kind of
coastline Savannah.
Border. You've got a pretty big sub base. So that might get a little premise. We no longer have the Navy, you know, the big Navy base here anymore. So maybe we're a little further down the list maybe than we used to be.
but
port-wise, you're 100% correct.
If they sent 12 of these things our way, we don't really have a way now, at least this is according to the Jerusalem Post, of stopping them. And they would unleash a tsunami of radiation. Okay, well... All right. Okay. So, I mean, I'm tracking the story. I guess I am also reading in the navalnews.com that they know where it's at. It's on the surface. It's probably just doing drills. But the story that kind of disrupted my day, HHS, Health and Human Services, is buying $290 million, okay, about a third of a billion worth of the Amgen drug Nplate. For radiation sickness in a nuclear emergency. Okay, I forwarded that to a couple of big talk show hosts that I forward stuff to from time to time. Just, that's buried. Now, that comes from Seeking Alpha. That was in Seeking Alpha today. HHS, acute radiation sickness due to radiological or nuclear emergency. Now, when I was growing up, I'm a little older than Barry. We used to have the drills. This was probably in elementary school. We'd get under our desk, Barry, you know, bracing ourselves for a nuclear bomb or whatever. But this is probably the, you know, the most heightened talk I've ever heard in my lifetime.
So that's like a, it sounds like a fancy iodine pill, essentially, right?
Well, probably. I mean, you know, N-plate, which is romiplostim, romiplostim, R-O-M-I-P-L-O-S-T-I-M. I decided, I said at that point, I'm just going to go back to bed. Then I remembered I had a show to do.
Right.
Well, Carl Icahn had a good day yesterday. Oh, man. I was shocked when I saw that news that Elon is going ahead with the buy. Man, that guy is, he's all over the place. He's unpredictable.
Yeah, well, if you lose, I think if you lose kind of 30 small battles in Delaware, right, 30 different rulings in a row or so, whatever the number was, I guess you may decide to go ahead and go forward with the deal, right?
Yeah, and the stock was up $22 a share yesterday. Famed investor Carl Icahn may have made $250 million on his Twitter stake.
Yeah, and talk about a bet and a hope, right?
I didn't give it much hope.
Right.
I mean, he had to have been down a lot from where he bought it, I would think.
You would guess, yeah.
Well, it says Icahn paid in the mid-30s for his stock. So I imagine he's going to hold on, and $54.20 was the deal. Other notable hedge funds, D.E. Shaw, Dan Loeb's Third Point, also took stakes in Twitter in recent months and are expected to make some nice gains. Well, we didn't. I just thought it was really a risky deal. And now, you know, it looks like Elon is going to have Twitter. Whether or not he puts much energy into it, I don't think he does anything that he doesn't put a lot of energy into. He's a pretty smart guy. I sure like his Starlink internet. It worked for me during the hurricane. Now, I don't know. Maybe they can do a commercial of me setting up my little antenna in 70-mile-an-hour winds.
I was going to say, it's amazing.
Walking inside, banging on my keyboard, and it says, you are connected. You have internet. And it wasn't bad. I mean, the charts were a little slow. I had to switch to MarketSmith. There's a lot of data going back and forth with MarketSmith.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I use during the day. But I also have a subscription to StockCharts.com, which are just as good, a lot cheaper. And they just don't have all of that data. Okay, so Twitter was up 22% as he revives the $44 billion deal. Gold rebounds yesterday, got up above 1,700 as the dollar and treasury yields extended their declines. But today, you're going right back down to normal again with rising rates and a rising dollar. With the 30-year mortgage currently 6.75%, and that's why you've seen just a total, almost halt to new home sales, existing home sales. It's the highest mortgage rate in more than 20 years. The Fed member, Daly, now you're waiting for a pivot, are you? Okay, well, Fed President Mary Daly from San Francisco said that inflation is corrosive, reducing labor market power. People need jobs, but they also need price stability. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't do any good to have rising wages if you have rising cost right along with it. So she is still very concerned about inflation. And doesn't sound like she's in a pivot kind of mood right now. Okay, now, real quick, before we get out of the last break here, the euro area services activity contracts more than expected. Okay, let's see if we see a pattern here. United Kingdom services, PMI, stalls in September as inflationary pressures hit discretionary spending. Remember, the consumer is a big chunk, the vast majority of the economy. French service sector grows slightly less than early estimate as worries about inflation linger. Germany trade surplus back to 1992 lows as export growth slowed. And last but not least, this is a little surprising to me. Gazprom is going, that's the Russian oil company, is going to resume gas flows to Italy. after dispute resolved. I thought they had all agreed not to, but Italy, I guess, is still getting gas from. And lastly, did I say French service sector slightly less? Yes, I think I already said that. So not good. And Spain services, correct, for the first time in 8 months. So for that reason, we continue to have an inverse position on the European economy.
EPV, right?
EPV on the European economy. And one last one here. This shouldn't surprise you, but U.S. companies' dividend growth. Okay, we had record dividend growth there for several years, companies increasing their dividend. Well, you know, more signs of things kind of coming to a screeching halt. U.S. companies' dividend growth slows in Q3 amid economic uncertainty. Okay, we'll come back, see what's jumping today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the best inverse fund / stocks show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Inverse Funds, Best Stocks Now show. I just looked at the leaders in the market out of 6,000 ETFs, stocks, mutual funds. All the significant leadership is coming from one asset class, inverse funds. I didn't see any individual stock whatsoever of any quality with any kind of significant gains. It's a whitewash. It's a bloodbath in the market today after two big jubilant days that were based on the hope and prayer that the Fed's going to back off. And I'm just not seeing any signs of that right now. So here's your leadership today. Two times, let's see, I want to make sure some of these are three-time inverse. The first one is DRV. That's just, I think it's just one time. No, it's three times inverse the real estate sector. Okay? That's just common sense. We just read about the highest interest rates now for a mortgage. How many people does that price out of the market? 90%? I don't know. But there's some big, giant number, percentage of people that are now not interested in buying anymore, because it costs too much to borrow money. So DRV, real estate, inverse. The REITs aren't doing well either, by the way. I think there's some REITs in that inverse. I'd have to look at what the components are. But it is the real estate sector index, up 8.6% today. Gold is right back on its back foot. GDXD is three times inverse the gold miners. It's gone down quite a bit over the last 4 days, but now it's at the bottom, bouncing off its 250-day moving average. It's up 9.2% today. Fanged. Those FANG stocks, man, I looked at Google yesterday. It had just a horrible chart. Horrible. Fanged, FNGD, is three times inverse the FANG stocks. It's up 8.4% today. LABD is three times inverse the biotech sector, which has been kind of sketchy. The biotech sector has actually done fairly well this year, considering that it's pretty much a no earnings kind of sector. But there have been some big winners in the biotech sector that have propped it up. You had that big move in Biogen here recently. So LABD is up 7.5%. It's inverse, three times. Oof. These are all direction funds. ProFunds doesn't do inverse three times. Two is the most they go. Direction goes three times. They have three times inverse the biotech, up 7.2. Webs Webb's is one that I personally own a little bit as a hedge. It's 300% inverse the Dow Jones Internet Index. It's up 7.8%. And whenever the market's having a bad day, you can always bet that the chips are having an even worse day. And conversely, when the market has huge up days, the chips do well. They're pretty high volatility kind of area of the market. SOX, S-O-X-S, up 6.1%. It's three times inverse the SOX index. There's no SOX in the playoffs this year, Barry. That could be another reason. The White Sox didn't make it, and the Red Sox.
Right.
When's the last time the Red Sox weren't in the playoffs? And the Padres were. We're playing the Mets Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I would, you know, if it would have been in Atlanta, I'd have been there. We'd have drove.
Right.
We'd have been there.
You might get to Atlanta eventually. They,
no,
depending on the first series.
No,
right?
The road goes through Los Angeles.
Oh.
Ugh, and I have. Right. Oh, we hate the Dodgers.
Not your favorite team, right?
Now, if we would have, I kind of wish Philadelphia would have finished ahead of us, because then we would have went through St. Louis and Atlanta. I could have drove to both of those. But, oh well, you know, I have no desire to go to New York. I'm going to watch it on TV. All right, let's see. The small caps inverse three times, TZA. I probably give more of an education on the inverse funds than any other show, TV or radio or podcast out there. You know what? It's just something to have in your hip pocket.
It's a tool in the toolbox.
That's if right. You need it. I had to pull out my Sawzall yesterday. I don't use my Sawzall because I like my fingers. I still have 10. But I had to repair some sprinkler lines, some heavy duty, a 2-inch pipe, you know, from the hurricane. 2-inch pipe is difficult, man, to deal with. But I'm down in there in the hole. Sawing away with my saws all on my inverse funds.
How did that work out for you?
So far, so good.
Good.
I'm going to turn after the show, I'm going to turn the main back on. This is just all my sprinklers. And if there's a big water spout coming up in Mount Pleasant, you'll know where it's coming from. SQQQ. That's three times inverse the NASDAQ. That's too hot for me. We own QID, which is two times inverse the NASDAQ. It's up 4.4% today. Yesterday, I was saying, you know, this is probably a good time to be looking at some of the inverse funds, like SARC. You've had even ARC rallied on Monday and Tuesday. Okay, even ARC funds rallied on Monday and Tuesday. I mean, that's the innovation stocks that just get crushed in a rising interest rate environment. A tidal wave has rolled through ARC funds. They're in St. Petersburg, which got spared. They're quite a bit north of where the real damage was done. You know, that thing did a pivot at the last minute, Barry, that hurricane. They were expecting it up north, and Fort Myers was not really... that's why I think the deaths happened, because the hurricanes did a zig all of a sudden that caught everybody by surprise. Okay, SARC was up 4.7% yesterday, or today, so far today. It's twice inverse. No, it's just 1-to-1. So she's getting clobbered today. She's down 4.7%. And then lastly, EPV, which we just talked about, the European. The only Europe inverse fund that I know of, it's twice inverse Europe. It is up 5.1% today. 5.1% today. So we're up overall about 0.3%, while the Dow is down 1.4%. Okay, if you want to get the newsletter, 2 free weeks, anybody listening, today only. GundersonCapital.com. But better yet, if you want to talk to us and get a sound defense along with your offense, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.